Oh, there's one person who's more upset about that, and that's the person who picked the Patriots to win yesterday. That'd be me. 617-779-7937, your phone number. Patriots Monday here on WEEI, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, and we're with you until 6 o'clock. The Ramondre Stevenson situation, we'll get to your phone calls here in just a moment. This situation is a major problem. It's a problem right now, and it's a problem for the future because this guy signed in 2027, all right? There's a potential out there, but could even go beyond that to 2028. And with an offense that has no left tackle, a wide receiver room that is completely bereft of any talent, and Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, you can make the argument that the biggest liability on this offense right now is Ramondre Stevenson, who's supposed to be its best player. It's a run-heavy team. I thought the offense looked half-decent on that first drive. They got a couple first down. When he fumbled that ball on the first drive, on the first play of the second drive, it was, like, stunning to me. It was stunning to me that after 10 days where you have to assume this guy's just doing all the possible ball protection drills you can think of. Day in and day out, it's the main thing. You've got to protect the ball. That's really the only thing that's missing from his game right now. It's a big thing, but it's the only thing that's missing. We're bordering, like, the yips here.
Yes.
Like, we're bordering on yips territory with this guy, and that is, I mean, it was bad enough last year with Mac. Now Ramondre Stevenson is the focal point of your offense, and he cannot hold on to the ball.
And you can't bench him because you don't really have a backup. The one thing I will say, it's not that this is the first time he's fumbled. He's kind of dabbled in
no,
this area a little bit. No, I mean in past years.
Right.
He's dabbled a little bit. But guys go through this. There was, like, 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, Zeke, who we talked about earlier, Ezekiel Elliott, had a horrific stretch with the Cowboys. It was like game after game where it became he stopped playing. He just they couldn't put him on the field.
Stevenson fumbled once last year, twice in 2022, and once in 2021. So he's matched his career total of fumbles in four games this year.
And my guess is it'll stop. Now, I'm just guessing. No, I'm being honest. Like,
stop if they bench him.
Well, yeah, but you can't. I think you can't bench him. He's your workhorse. He's your offense. Gerard said it. Our offense is run the ball, play defense, short passing game.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say it's going to be Antonio Gibson and JaMychal Hasty, and you think you're going to be a run first team.
Well, no. I mean, you're going to have to change some things about it. You're not going to have to be able to rely on your run game as often as you were before with Stevenson, but you can't rely on it with Stevenson. You have to
Well, you
I think at this point, no, you can't.
He looked good on opening day. He looked pretty good. Even yesterday there were some runs.
There was a couple of runs, but for the most part he wasn't really giving you much, and he turned it over again.
You have no offense.
He's fumbling every
Stevenson.
Week.
You have no offense.
All right. Well,
you have no offense now, Andy.
You don't have any offense now.
Well, I mean, that is fair. That is actually fair.
I think you have to treat this like he's injured or something. Like, you have to treat this as though, all right.
Put him on IR?
Maybe.
For four weeks, designated
honestly,
to return?
Yeah. I wouldn't have a huge
injury,
problem with that.
Fumble.
You can't do that. You have to have it. There has to be an actual injury. But
I'm sure you could find something right now.
Give him a week off. Give him something. Give some sort of excuse here. First of all, that may temper all this a little bit. Well, he's playing through something. Whether it's true or not, who gives a rat's ass?
So you think there's a better chance. I love playing the better. More likely.
Yes.
More likely. He fumbles against the Dolphins or doesn't fumble again this season?
Or doesn't fumble again this season. More likely he fumbles against the Dolphins.
You're very negative.
What do you want from me?
He's batting a thousand.
He's batting a thousand.
One fumble, two fumbles, and one fumble. Now he's got four.
Yeah.
So he matched his career. So it's unlikely
he's averaging
he
a fumble
at
a game.
His pace.
I don't know if it is. And not if the way he's playing right now. He can't hold
Optimistic
on to the ball.
Optimistic Andy.
His ball security was 10 days to get ready. He still fumbled on the third play.
Optimistic Andy says he will not fumble again this season.
Okay.
More likely.
If they bench him, he won't.
What the hell
right
are you looking out over there, Brian?
Yeah, Brian. I don't
Stop
know.
It.
If he agrees with me, then yeah, Brian. And if he agrees
well,
he with
clearly
Andy, then,
does.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So
you
just so he's going to fumble 17 times.
I don't think he's going to fumble every single week.
I just think this is one of those Major League Baseball games where you score 10 in the first inning and then you end up winning 10-7.
Usually, like running backs who fumble four times in four games do get benched, and you don't see him go back in again.
But he
and that
can't.
Used to
you don't
happen.
Have another.
Fine. Then you go out and you find some. There's guys on practice squad. Frank Gore Jr. sitting on a practice squad somewhere. He had a great preseason. Dalvin Cook, I think, is on the Dallas Cowboys practice squad. I know these guys both probably suck, but your guy sucks too.
Yes.
So you do something about it. You go out there.
No,
and you
wait
fix
a minute.
It.
Wait, your guy's a fumbling problem. He doesn't suck.
That sucks.
That's it.
If you fumble every week, that sucks. I'm sorry.
Yes, I know, but he doesn't suck. Those guys, like Dalvin Cook, the one I saw with the Jets last year, is done. He's no longer an NFL running.
He probably is. Yeah.
So I'm looking
like
for
when
somebody.
They got Steven Jackson that one year. Remember that?
I'm not just looking for somebody to hold the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for somebody that can actually get yards while holding the ball and then still have the ball at the end of the run. That's the issue with Ramondre Stevenson. You want to bet? You want to put a bet on it?
That he fumbles again this year?
You bet that he fumbles on
I'm not going to bet he fumbles every single week.
No, just Sunday.
Okay, fine. But if he doesn't fumble Sunday and then does fumble again before the season's over, who wins the bet?
No. I think it's a push.
So I'm just betting that he fumbles on Sunday.
And I'm just betting he won't fumble again.
For the rest of the year?
Rest of the year.
Will All right, I'll take that. Again. I'll absolutely take that.
What are we betting?
Six-pack
of Miller Lite.
Yeah, that works.
Okay.
More of a Coors Light man myself, but yeah, I'll take that.
Why?
All right, 6-1, because it's all the same. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. I promise we get to your phone calls. So let's go ahead and start with Paul in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, thank you, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Paul.
I'm going to have to start with, you know, we played the 49ers. I know. It's a great team, even the backups. But you have to understand something, that our backups didn't do, speaking of backups, didn't do very well. You know, you play for this team, their six-time Super Bowl championship. But you have to understand something, too, that, you know what? What happened this weekend? Everybody was a mess. Everybody was a mess. But
yes, everyone was. Paul, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. That is
wow, quick hook.
That call was going nowhere. I'm sorry.
It felt like it was sort of scuffling a little bit. Felt like a Patriots fourth down play.
It did. And you did have a couple of instances, and over the course of the game, guys got hurt, and you had to sub them out too. And by the end of it, it's Nick Leverett and, you know, the whole offensive line is just a mishmash of names you barely even recognize. And all that's true, and all that's fine. It was a Niners team that was banged up, too. I don't care about this. Like, I don't care about the offensive line being injured. That maybe Andrews, but the rest of it doesn't really matter to me. They've never, ever indicated that they can play above substandard levels, whether they're playing their starters or their second stringers or the third stringers or guys off the practice squad. They all kind of fit in the same basket to me, unfortunately.
Well, the roster is what it is.
Right.
And I think that's why, in my poll, Elliot Wolf got a lot of votes, because it's not just the offensive line. This is a roster that, whether it was eyeball test or what is it, ESPN's FPI, Football Power Index or whatever, was predicting they would have the number one pick in the draft. What did they base that on? Talent.
Yep.
The roster.
Yep.
Like, that's what they based that on. You had one of the worst rosters in football, and we talked about it at the time. They may have stolen one in week one in part because they played all their guys during the preseason and a lot of other teams didn't. And Schefter was talking about early season crappy football, nobody plays anybody. Well, they had kind of played a lot of their guys during the preseason, and I think they may have been more game ready, week one ready, even though they're not as talented. But the reality is, almost everybody, there were a few radio hosts in this town that were predicting 10-plus wins. I'm still waiting to see them pick up the pace to get to 10 wins. Feels like it's a long shot at this point.
I think four is still a long shot at this point, but go ahead.
I do, too. But I'm still, like, there's not a lot of wins in that talent. And we talked about it in the spring, that it was unlikely you were going to be able to fill all the holes in one spring.
Right.
And they didn't, and they couldn't. Now, could they have done a better job?
Could they have filled any of them?
Well,
could they have gotten a tackle or a wide receiver?
The
or something?
Funny thing
a guy
is,
who's, you know, decent.
The
maybe.
One hole they filled, they aren't using the filler.
Right,
Drake May. They filled the hole at franchise quarterback. They drafted a quarterback, the most important pick. Robert Kraft said in his 30 years of ownership, right, the whole thing, and we haven't seen it. So when you use the top pick on that guy and then don't play him, that's how you're left to feel like they didn't fill any holes. And then you get questions about, like Gerard Mayo said on the morning show, we signed the best offensive lineman we felt in free agency. He just happened to already be on our team. And there may be some truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a debate whether Mike Onwenu was one of the best offensive linemen, and you kept him. Did it fill a hole? Wasn't a hole. He was there.
Right.
There was no hole filled. So some of the investment this team made to fill holes, we're not seeing any fruits of that filler.
No, we're not. And I also think that when you talk about the rookies, and I mean, really, there's a lot of rookies on this offense, whether they're playing right now or not. And I know that Baker isn't, but, you know, Polk's playing, Wallace was playing, Robinson was playing. You have all these guys here who the same rules that you give to Drake May about him not being ready or it not being a good environment for him to go out there and play, none of that applies to anybody else.
Certainly
none
looked
of that
like
applies to Caden Wallace
Robinson?
Playing in the wrong position. That's not even the
How
position
about Layden
he
Robinson?
Plays. Layden Robinson was getting spun
the guy
around.
Runs him over the first play and goes, you're not strong enough, you're just a rookie. The next play just goes, boom, club, runs by him, and it's like, that was the picture of not ready for the NFL trench warfare. God, I don't even know who 99 was. Who's 99?
I think he's their backup, the guy who was backing up Hargrave.
Javon Hargrave. Okay, great. So a backup, 99 in your playbook. I mean, in your
number one in your hearts.
Number one in your hearts. Not number one in Layden Robinson's heart. But he was bitch-slapping Layden Robinson. And that was the visual epitome of a
Malik
guy.
Malik Collins is who that
Malik
was.
Malik Collins.
Yep.
I don't know that I've heard that name.
Came over from Houston, I guess. I don't know. I couldn't tell you much about him either. But, yeah, they were all mauling. Jordan Elliott, Leonard Floyd, Bosa, obviously, remember what he was doing. And they got good linebackers there in Campbell and Warner. And they just ate your lunch. I mean, really.
Yes,
it was
but that's
as
a
that.
Rookie that looks like he's not ready to compete.
Right.
And yet you're forcing him to compete.
You got him out there because you need to.
How's his confidence today?
I don't know. Probably not great.
Is it broken?
Are you clearly not as worried about breaking everyone else's confidence?
That's what I mean. How's Jalen Polk's confidence? Pretty good, actually. He's tweeting like catch on. Did you see that? He retweeted.
I did see that. He's like catch. And I agree with him, by the way. I thought that was a catch.
I am not sure. It certainly wasn't not a catch because of the way they described it. There was a terrible description from somebody.
I thought both feet were down and that his hip was down too.
It was very close.
In balance. I don't know. Whatever.
It was very close with the
hip. It didn't matter when it all of a sudden done.
No, but it does matter. We need minor victories. We need moral victories.
Moral victories,
we need
I guess. Yeah.
Singular. We need singular plays that we can talk to and say, hey, if they can do that a little more often, maybe they got to give Polk a few more opportunities. Because I actually thought Polk had kind of an up-and-down game. The would-be, should-be, could-have-been interception later on the in-cut. He was very lethargic out of the in-cut.
Yeah.
Even Greg Olsen called him out.
He should have had that, yeah. He should have been.
He kind of let up or slowed up. There wasn't any urgency.
And that was a good ball by Brissett.
Very good
ball. One of the few good ones
he had. Very good ball. And it almost ended up a pick. We did go to the research department during the break. Yes, the afternoon show here on WEEI has a research department. And Jacoby Brissett's career high for interceptions in a game is 2.
Okay.
So he's very unlikely to throw 4 picks in a game. Drake May is more likely to have a 4-pick game. That is inarguable. Basically.
At this point, I'd rather watch Drake May throw 4 interceptions in another one of those.
I would too, because I would hope he'd learn from it.
He could throw 10 interceptions. Like honestly, like I just at this point, I mean, I wouldn't love it. That would probably not
10?
Look great. But at this point, in terms of like watchability, in terms of visual, you know, seeing him taking shots down the field, it might get old after like the 5th or the 6th one. But still,
oh, you think?
At least you're trying. At least you're trying to do something. At least you're trying to move the ball. They weren't even trying. 4th quarter, not even running the hurry up. Like that was annoying. 617-779-7937. Joe is in Melrose. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. Well, I was thinking about the game yesterday. So two big things contribute to winning and losing NFL games, turnovers and big plays. Mm-hmm. And if the Patriots offense isn't capable of generating a big play through the offense, they can't just lose the game by giving turnovers. So the 3 turnovers were a killer. I mean, when I thought the game was over when Jacoby Brissett threw the pick 6, I mean, when Stevens fumbled and the 49ers only got 3 points, I was like, okay, maybe they can overcome that. But once Jacoby Brissett threw that pick 6, he can't overcome that. So, like, and Jacoby Brissett's there because he's not going to turn the ball over, so he's not going to lose the game, but he can't win the game with big plays. You put in Drake May, which they should do. They should put in Drake May this week. He can generate big plays. And, you know, they say, like, the quarterback is so important in the NFL. Look at, like, Miami. They're supposed to have a great roster and do something in the playoffs. As soon as they lose their quarterback, they're garbage, and they're probably competing for a top 5 pick.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. Thanks for the call. I think that's a good point, what he was sort of saying at the end there. Is the quarterback the most important position in football or not?
Yes.
It is, right?
All of sports.
So you put in somebody who's good, even if the offensive line isn't great, and even if the wide receivers aren't all that good, and even if this offense isn't really functioning at a level that you want it to, if you have a guy at quarterback who can make plays and who can sort of elevate and lift other guys up there, you have to find out, don't you? If you do, then you should know that. Then you should have him out there. You should be trying to start the Drake May era. You shouldn't be waiting anymore. I mean, I think that's really what it's all about. If you really don't believe that the quarterback's the most important position, that first you have to have the offensive line, and then you got to put receivers around them and all that, I understand that in terms of team building. But you already built the team.
Right.
You've already built the team and brought the quarterback in. So if he's the most important guy on the roster, what are we doing here?
And they told us he's the most important guy on the roster by drafting him number 3 overall. There were alternate plans. Trade down. Get your wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr. Get Joe Alt and start the offensive line because that's the most important position. They said no. The franchise quarterback's the most important position, and there is a legit franchise quarterback, and I'm going to hold Robert Kraft to his words on the Prime Halftime Show where he said there were 3 quarterbacks available. The one we wanted fell to us.
Mm-hmm.
They believe they got their guy, the perfect quarterback for them, the guy they wanted to be their franchise quarterback. They told you how important that is. Now, you could also spin it, and they're telling you how important that is by not playing him, that they're protecting him. And, you know, we had a caller, I think, talk about, was it with you or with Fitzy on the postgame show? You know, I'm not the kind of guy to take a Lamborghini down 495 because, you know, it's too bumpy and the road's not, blah, 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 blah. And
that sounds like a Fitzy metaphor there.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I think it was a caller.
Anyway,
So he's a Lamborghini and the road isn't properly paved yet, right? It's like when Lightning McQueen paved the road in cars and it was all bumpy and he did a crappy job. Do it again because it's not ready for the sports cars. So there is a value on Drake May. I think it is being overblown, personally. I think the risk is being overblown, and the reward is not being inflated enough.
Yeah, it's being undersold.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Like,
well, you're going to lose anyway. Maybe
a quarterback
maybe you will.
Changes everything.
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud did it. Well, Tom Brady did it. I think for a short period, Bailey Zappi did it. Like, they can
for
catch
a very short period, yes. I would agree
and
with
and I'm
that,
hoping
yes.
it would last longer with Drake
like
May.
That, the end of that Bears game and then that Packers right. game, and then it was basically over. But yes.
belief is a hell of a thing, right? Especially yeah. for a team that isn't all that talented and probably needs to believe in itself even more.
Yeah, before
right?
they and, start turning on each right. other like you're hearing on the midday show.
And not
yeah.
doubt itself. So yep. a quarterback can do that. Some quarterbacks can do that. And I don't know if Drake is this guy. He's young, and it's probably not fair to ask this. Some quarterbacks, I think, when they walk in, have an air about mm-hmm. them. I thought, like, Cam Newton had a certain air to him.
Yep.
Like, when he walks into a room, it's like, Jesus, this guy. Now, Travis Hunter didn't care.
No, he didn't. Neither did Shador. They both blew him off.
And obviously, Tom Brady, Baker Mayfield may not have liked it, but when he walked into Tampa, there was an air to Tom Brady. And I'm not comparing. I'm just saying quarterbacks can change everything.
Yep.
Like, I think Baker has changed things in Tampa, or Jared Goff has clicked and changed things. There's a belief.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Drake May brings that. And
how about Daniels in Washington? You don't think
Daniels,
that locker
right,
room's right. buzzing right now? Did you see Quinn go in there? I mean,
right.
it was the chemistry off the charts. And that's a rookie quarterback.
And I would say, okay, so we can do that too.
Yeah.
Are Caleb Williams' career over? Is Bo Nix's career over? They're
I
not
would say
rolling.
Not. They all won this week.
But they're scuffling.
Yeah.
Is it breaking them or are they learning?
They're learning.
Right? Like, there's value to the experience.
Well, I don't know if they're learning. You have to ask them if they're learning. But
no, they're definitely
what
they're
doing,
learning.
They're picking things up each week, and they're winning games, and they're looking like they're improving. Yeah.
They are absolutely learning.
Yeah.
Whether it turns into something where they're lead, I don't know. But they are learning. They're learning how to play in the rain. They're learning how to, you know, deal with pressure. They're learning a billion different things, right? Like, who knows how much they're learning? I know Drake May's learning very little. Because he's got, like...
Yeah, what is he learning right
he's
now?
He's got, like, an earpiece in, and he's like... Somebody even asked, and it's a great point that I haven't really noticed enough. How much time does he spend? Is he always sitting next to Jacoby Brissett and, like, Alex Van Pelt on the sideline? I haven't seen a lot
of
those.
I see him standing up walking around a lot.
Yeah.
The few times they show him, it seems like he's standing up.
So is he not even involved in, like, the in-between series breakdowns and the coaching and adjustments?
I don't know.
Because wouldn't that help his learning?
Let's ask Jacoby Brissett. I'm sure he'd love to talk about that.
I don't think we need to go there.
Let's not ask him.
Last week you asked him a question about Drake May, and he cut you off mid-sentence.
He did. He absolutely did. Let's see how fast he can cut me off today. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got room for you here on the phone lines. It's a Patriots Monday, WEEI Afternoons. When we come back, we'll have a frank discussion about Jacoby Brissett,
uh-oh.
The season that he's having, and an honest look at what he gave you last night. It's coming up next.